Millions of people are living better. They are enjoying a healthier lifestyle, learning more about overcoming obstacles and keeping a positive outlook. Now you can be a member of the club. This is the Living to 100 Club with Dr. Joe Casciani. Our guests share incredible stories and advice, bring new outlooks on wellness, and show you how to keep moving forward. Now, here is your host, Dr. Joe Casciani.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our live radio broadcast of the Living to 100 Club. In today's episode, we're going to talk about society's views on aging, pro and con, with someone who has been immersed in the field for over four decades in agency development, teaching, and providing his expertise at the county, state, and federal levels. We're really fortunate to have him as our guest. I'm Dr. Joe Casciani, show host, psychologist, and strong believer in our will to live to 100 years. You can contact me at my website, living200.club, or by email at info@living200.club. Before we start, I want to say to our listeners that we will take your questions. Please call them into this number, 866-472-5792, or send your question by email to info@living200.club. And now to our guest. Dr. Joaquin Anguera has worked in the field of aging for over 40 years. For 20 years, he was a professor of gerontology at San Diego State University. Currently, he's a governor's appointee to the California Commission on Aging. Joaquin has been involved in the establishment of several agencies helping the elderly, and he is or has been on several boards of directors. He's given numerous presentations throughout the nation and abroad on subjects related to longevity and the challenges of old age. He worked for over 30 years at the Aging and Independent Services, a county agency that oversees all of the services for the elderly in San Diego County. He received a PhD in leadership and human behavior with an emphasis in gerontology. He has a lifetime community college teaching credentials in psychology and philosophy. Welcome, Joaquin. We're delighted to have you with us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Joe.
Good. Well, before we start, you have such a long career. Maybe you could share with our audience just a few highlights of your professional work. Maybe what are the more rewarding experiences that you had?
Well, you've said it all, and what happens as you get older, and I am 76 years old now and very proud of it, is that, in a sense, my career has prepared me to really enjoy this new stage of life. I retired just 2 years ago from my teaching career, which was very, very rewarding. I mean, it was a great experience to be able to realize that I would be shaping or helping shape the minds of young students that were to go into the field of social work, the helping professions. I had some nursing students, pre-med and the like. Some of the students have gone into the legal profession, trying to set up situations and remedy problems that affect older persons. So all of it, I find it very rewarding, and I try now to practice what I preach, what I taught my students about all the aspects of successful aging. So maybe we can talk about some of those aspects as our conversation moves along.
That's great. Great. Well, congratulations to you for such a rewarding work history. And as you probably know, you know, we have the Living to 100 Club, and we ask our members to always rethink traditional stereotype views about getting older and to throw off some of those limitations we put on older adults. So I think, really, you're the perfect person to help us with this. Let's start with just talking about old age. How do you define old age?
Well, old age, or maybe another term would be aging, old age as a stage, and aging, well, and either one, aging, and I used to ask my students, what is aging and when does someone start aging? And obviously the right answer is the moment we are born. So aging is just a process. It's a normal process that extends across the life course. I like to emphasize that aging and old age are very different from disease and decline. I like to say that aging and old age differs according to who's talking. For instance, we hear about, say, in the sports field, some people are considered old at 35 or 40 already. In the field of employment, 40 is considered an old person because of the fact that there is discrimination. We know that to be a member of AARP, say someone is considered old at 50, for Older Americans Act programs, the nutrition programs, Meals on Wheels that we see, you have to be 60 and over. We've been talking about the retirement age of 65 as being old, even though nowadays it's more 67, the age at which you can claim full benefits for Social Security. So all this is a social construction, something that we made up. And for some people, if you ask older persons themselves, they'll say you are old at, 75 or 80? And some people say you might never be old unless you define old as someone that needs assistance, someone with a major physical or mental illness, or even worse. I had people tell me an old person is someone that's given up on themselves, someone that's given up on life. And anything else is just part of being a mature, older person. So it's something very personal. To summarize this, I'll say that aging is something that happens to everyone. It's inevitable. It's very complex. And at the time, I think it's fascinating overall. Mm.
I do like that distinction you made, that it's not disease, it's not decline. And so much of it sounds like what you're saying is that's a label that we define for ourselves and for others. So it is that kind of construct. So how many older adults are there in the U.S. and are we still increasing? Is the older adult population still on the increase?
Certainly we are increasing, and this number keeps on growing. I mean, it's a result. What we are witnessing, there is a talk about the baby boomers becoming older. This population that was born after World War II, a period of great euphoria, satisfaction, very positive, and where things looked very rosy, and so the families were having more children. And right now the number is about, it's easy to remember, 50 million persons that are age 65 and over in our nation. What is interesting to note is the tremendous increase, what we call longevity. People are living much longer, and many more older persons are joining the ranks of those over 65. Compare it, for instance, at the beginning of last century, 1900, we had only about 3 million persons that were age 65 and over. And right now when we talk about 50 million, but to show the increase, I'll tell you, in the year 2000, just around the corner, we had 40 million persons. And now we are at 50. And the year 2040, that number would double to 80 million. So the numbers keep on increasing almost, we could say, exponentially. So nowadays, the total population that are older persons is about 15% of the total population of all ages. So that's a great number that we have to contend, and that's why shows like this one are very important, because we have to realize that we are not talking about a very small problem, but something that's going to shake up our society and reshape the way things are being done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 15%, that's in the U.S., I take it.
In the United States. Yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning that it's different also depending on the states of our nation. We have some states, like California, it's a much younger state because we have more youth, and there are other states, like, say, I think the oldest one is, other than Florida, is West Virginia, that it has a population of up to 20% of older persons.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they live longer, let me clarify, but it's in part fueled by the fact that many of the younger people leave the state in looking for better opportunities.
Mm.
And so worldwide, as you mentioned, it's also very different, and all the nations in Africa have much younger populations, whereas the nations of Europe in general have much higher, in the 20% range of the total population. So we might have a few things to learn from some of the European countries.
Sure. Yeah, so 15 to 20% in some of the other states like Florida and, as you said, West Virginia.
West Virginia, yes.
Mm-hmm. So in 2040, that percentage will be much higher in those states, probably.
In those states also.
25,
absolutely.
30, maybe even closer to half. Yeah. So let's talk about, thank you for that, by the way. We want to talk about stereotypes. And why do we still have these stereotypes? Why do we look at older adults as a frail, kind of weak, helpless population? What's going on there? And I'm thinking that it's probably gotten better, but it's still out there, right?
It's still not there. I'd say it's a result of human nature. I think our mind is some sort of a stereotype generator. Sometimes our minds are a little lazy, and we don't know the real reason for something, or we don't have the full explanation. Then we go and come up with a stereotype, something that is an exaggerated picture and that takes into account only a few characteristics, something that you can see and that you can easily apply to everyone, because you don't want to take the time to really investigate or find out what is going on. And in most cases, those stereotypes are maybe erroneous and do not represent the reality. If I may share an instance, when I was teaching, I would ask the students in the few classes, in the early classes, if you had to do a survey of older persons and you had to go ask them some questions, where would you go to find older persons? Someone would always quickly raise their hand and say, oh, I would go to a nursing home. And I say, oh my goodness, isn't that sad? That's the perception that we have sometimes in our society. You would find older persons, the answer should be anywhere, in the supermarket, in your local church, down the street where you live. Because only in nursing homes, we know that we have only about 4% of the total population. And those are really not representatives of older persons. Mm-hmm. So those stereotypes, there are many of them that relate to the fact that older persons are in great need, that they are very dependent, stereotypes that they are maybe not slow workers, that they are lonely and isolated, that they do not participate in society. All of them quite negative and very unfortunate. So we have quite a lot of work to do, because some of those stereotypes raise their head every now and then in some writings or perceptions of people that assume that those things are true, and it's because they have not been exposed to the true reality. Mm-hmm. Many times I like to say that there is quite a collection of words that start with the letter D. I call them the D words of aging. And people present aging and older persons as decline, losing your physical abilities, deterioration and disability and dependence and dysfunction, destitution as all older persons being poor. I mean, when you start, you can never use that general term. That applies to any age, obviously. But when you've known one old person, you've only known one old person. Because you can never say that what this person is or says or how they think or feel represent the entire universe. And one of the major problems we have is this tendency to generalize. That's very unfortunate.
Yeah, that's a great example about the nursing home population. As you know, I've worked with this group for many years, and you know, to understand that it's a small, tiny piece of the older adults, because there's 95% who are still living independently, more or less, still very healthy, still resourceful, independent, and managing very well. So I guess we can hold on to these false beliefs. It's, in some ways, it's easy. We don't have to, as you said, we don't have to really dig and find out the truths, get to the facts. It's easy to hold on to those false beliefs, and there's a certain kind of convenience, because then we can generalize and lump everybody together and not have to deal with the individual, like you say. So that's really important. Is there anything that stands out in particular that is really harmful to this population when we talk about, you know, false beliefs? Anything that's really damaging?
I'd say in general, because there are many, and depends on who's talking, they will emphasize one myth over the other, whether they are very dependent, they are taking away from the rest of the population, whether they are all sick, and so on. Based on your question, what's really the worst part, I would say, is that many older persons believe also some of those myths. Mm. And that's the unfortunate part, that kind of hinders their development, their enjoyment of all life, their growth, and so on. I mean, people being told, you should act as an old person. What the heck is this? What does it mean? Old people are not supposed to do that. Old people are not supposed to what? To dance, to laugh, to ride a bicycle, and it goes on and on. And we should try to convince older people that the sky is the limit, that it's themselves, whatever they enjoy, they want, they've always done, that because they turn 65 or 70 or 75, they should not stop doing what they can do. If it's possible, if it's healthy for them, if the physician, whatever, has not placed any restrictions.
Let me interrupt, if I could. I love that whole notion of the seniors taking on some of these limitations themselves, ourselves. I'd like to use our tagline for Living to 100 Club is turning aging on its head. So we don't continue to go through our later years and see those limitations as something that's handicapping us. So it's time to take a short break. This is Dr. Joe Casciani, and my guest is Joaquin Anguera. You're listening to the Living to 100 Club and the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned. We have much more ahead.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Visit the Living to 100 Club online store. We feature products and wellness information that help maintain healthy lifestyles, promote mental and physical fitness, and allow you to take control of your future. you'll find a wide array of affordable items for staying active, monitoring your health, and adapting to physical changes. Most popular are items for travel, even with your pets, exercise equipment and clothing, heart rate monitors, and personal care items, and our unique Yes, I'm Positive collection. The Living to 100 Club Store offers convenient solutions for active lifestyles. Be sure to spend time on our Learn page for the club's inspiring blog series and add your name to our email list. The Living to 100 Club online store for awareness, convenience, and independence. Find us at livingto100.club. That's livingto100.club.
Are you living a healthy and fit lifestyle? It's not just related to your physical well-being. It also means a healthier mind, confidence, improved health, stamina, and fitness. Talking with Tremaine brings it all to you. Host Tremaine Ellis, along with her husband and co-host David Ellis, will offer support, advice, guidance, and motivation to keep you in your best shape, both physically and mentally. Talking with Tremaine can be heard live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and 3 Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Real Life Solutions, Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to the Living to 100 Club with Dr. Joe Casciani. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to info@livingto100.club. Now, back to this week's show.
And we're back. Okay, Joaquin, let's pick up where we left off. Good discussion. So let's take a look at why do we hold on to these incorrect beliefs. I mean, we know they're when we understand the facts, we know they're incorrect. So why do we still hold on to them?
Well, not too many people take the time to look at the future and what their lives will be. I mean, there is this saying that says there is this sort of discrimination among certain social groups or minorities or people with certain sexual orientation and so on. And people say it's unfortunate that some humans do not appreciate old age because this is the only special period or time of their lives that they are going to experience. None of us could say experience what it feels like being a member of another race or a group that has been discriminated. But if we are lucky enough, we will all experience the beauty of old age. Mm-hmm. So what happens probably why people experience, back to your question, those incorrect beliefs is because they only see the problems, maybe the challenges, I like to call them, the challenges of aging, and not the many opportunities. People sometimes view the aging of society as a disaster that's waiting to happen, and they question whether we can, as a society, afford to grow old and have that many people that are going to be dependent on government subsidies for them to survive, which is another myth, and it's totally wrong. So I think what we need to do is start realizing the many positive aspects of aging and not try to rationalize the problems in a way that it's that looks for the easy way out.
So what we used to think of like the very successful, healthy 80 or 90-year-old as kind of the exception, what we want to start to recognize is that maybe that that's the new normal. Maybe the healthy 80 or 90 year old that's still working or still high functioning and, you know, doing, living their life very successfully. Maybe that's becoming the new norm and not the exception anymore.
Excellent. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Going back to the earlier question, when you mentioned about the numbers of older persons in our population, and I mentioned the tremendous growth in the numbers because of the aging of the baby boomers, another interesting sociological factor is that among those older people, 65 and over, there is one group that is growing the most, and this is the 85 and over population. So it's expected to double in the next 25 years. So we have about 7 million persons right now that are age 65, 85 and over, and this number will be about 14 million in just 25 more years. And those are people that are still very healthy, very functional, very involved in society. So that should give our communities a tremendous hope and a tremendous desire to prepare for this aging of the population so that we have as many systems, programs, services in place so that everyone can enjoy their later years.
That's good. So we're kind of shifting our expectations about older adults, right? I mean, what they were 20 years ago, the expectations are different now, right? We're expecting different things from this population. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And it's not, and to make our society appropriate, perfect for those groups, it should be everyone's task. I mean, we have to change the fabric of our society, including certain policies, including the environment, including like our housing and transportation services and so on. We should keep in mind the tremendous growth of the older population so that all our services are truly responsive to the needs of this group. I mean, it's undeniable that certain things, changes happen as we grow older. For instance, our eyesight diminishes, our response in terms of driving. So we have to make freeways, the freeway signs, maybe larger street signs so that they are easier to see, getting on and off public transportation, putting benches in bus stops, hundreds of little details that some communities are already implementing, what they call aging in place. What are we doing so that people can age in place, stay in their communities, participate, and be full members of society and not have to move into a residential facilities because this their environment is not age-friendly?
Mm-hmm. So bring in some of these aids, some of these environmental aids, to allow us to continue residing where we are rather than going to some place where extra staff is needed to provide that extra help. Yeah. So, you know, when you and I talked a few weeks ago, we were talking about how there's a certain segment of the older adult population that likes to deny the aging process and kind of resist some of the changes, some of the physical changes, you know, our sensory functions, our bodies. How, in your experience, do we deny some of this aging process? Or it's not everyone, but a fair number of individuals. What's their denial all about?
Yeah, denial is there, and it's part of maybe society's emphasis on youth and beauty and being very appealing and accepting. And I would start by asking, myself, asking the listeners also, if you were asked to define, well, what's beauty, for instance? And very few would say that it's having the face of a 20-year-old or 25-year-old. And maybe we should start changing our standards and accepting that there is beauty in a face with wrinkles and in white hair. And I'm smiling because I'm thinking when I go to the doctor's office, I'm digressing here a little bit. Sometimes I go and check those magazines that are a year old, and I look at just the cover pages where I see all those young women faces there, and I go to another one and I go through the rack and try to see, is there an old face someplace? Are we still around? Are we worth of being on the cover of a magazine? And as of now, the answer is no. I mean, people are not accepting the fact that old has some positive aspects. In fact, the word old in itself is a beautiful word, if you ask me. I think it's about time that we have to be bold and reclaim old. Because old is a category in itself that it implies lots of good things. I mean, we talk about old master's paintings, old manuscripts, old wine, old cheese. So old in its actual etymology, the origin of the word, it implies something that it's grown up, something that it's mature, and something that takes time to achieve and to get there to its fullness. Mm. Not that it comes naturally. I liked it that a writer said that she herself, and she was in the 70s, she's an older person in training. So it takes time. It takes learning. It takes acceptance from our end. But it should lead us to something beautiful. Mm. I remember once, not too long ago, I was with my grandchildren, and they had a friend there with them. And so I asked the friend, hey, how old are you, Jimmy? And he says, I'm 5. Oh, really? And when are you going to be 6? When I'm through being 5. And I go, my goodness, that left me totally speechless.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it made me think, we'll get there when I'm through being through this previous stage or phase of life. And that's why early on at the beginning I said that being old is something very personal and relative, and we admit, we accept that we are old, that we've reached this stage of maturity. Also wisdom and experience, just when we are ready. And it's something that we evolve, that we need to be trained, we need to accept, we need to give it some time to reflect. Mm. And it's unfortunate, back to your initial question, that some people have this denial, this need to say, I'm not going to give away my age, my age is like my phone number. It's unlisted, so many people say, like trying to be funny. And I'm saying, why so? Until we older persons start accepting, hey, I lived for, Joaquin has lived for 76 years, and I tried to make the most of them. I sure have made many mistakes in my life. But overall, I think the evaluation, it's something very positive that we should be proud of.
Mm, sure. Yeah, a friend once told me that our age is nothing more than the number of times the Earth has revolved around the sun, right? So it's, the other thing to keep in mind, maybe ask your doctor to get some new magazine subscriptions.
I think so. It's so unfair. Won't you agree? I mean, it's so hard to find older persons there. Okay. Yeah.
So what are some of the products that you see on the market, anti-aging products? Just just some examples, and they're growing in prominence. I don't think they're receding. I think we're actually seeing more and more of these in the stores and television, and hearing them on the radio. So, what are you seeing?
Yeah, the assumption is that aging is some sort of a disease or an illness that can be cured, and that we know. I mean, research tells us that's wrong. So that's the premise, that aging is something bad and that should be stopped. And that's why the anti-aging, even the name in itself, it's repulsive to me. Anti means that you are, again, supposed to antagonistic, hostile to aging. Why? Everyone is aging, so let's take it easy. But there's nothing we can do with those labels. People love them. So anti-aging products and services would be some surgical procedures that try to fix or change maybe the appearance of aging. And then there are lots of remedies that include some traditionally recognized nutrients, such as vitamins and minerals, which, by the way, the Food and Drug Administration has said that they do not recognize, they do not pronounce, they do not take sides whether they are worthy of being taken or not. And then there are many other herbs, hormones, animal extracts, and all kinds of cell injection that all they try to do is to change. It all boils down to this desire, this new culture of saying, first of all, I think there is money, and then there is the personal vanity that is involved also. And so people that sell those products or those services, surgeries, they do it with the simple concept of saying that self-confidence and self-fulfillment is very important in our society, and that we need to be accepted by everyone, otherwise we feel ashamed, unfulfilled, unhappy, humiliated. And so if your outwardly appearance fails, then you do not have self-respect, and you do not feel fulfilled, and so many people fall for it, and they go along and they say, well, then I'm going to change my exterior appearance, and then inside I'm going to feel so much better.
Sure. Yeah, playing on the...
I'm not going to criticize someone that says I'm truly needed and it does me good, but I'm just talking in general. The same people that say, should I now not dye my hair because I love whatever, being a blonde all my life, and I don't like white, more power to you. I mean, it's something very personal. But as a blanket statement, I think that in most cases when we talk about anti-aging as a way of denying who we are, what's happening to us, to our bodies, that's probably not the right solution.
Yeah, that's very good. It's the argument of playing on an individual's insecurities and fears, and just raising questions about their acceptance. That's the unfortunate side of that whole process. Well, it's time to take a short break. This is Joe Casciani, and my guest is Joaquin Anguera. You're listening to the Living to 100 Club on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Visit the Living to 100 Club online store. We feature products and wellness information that help maintain healthy lifestyles, promote mental and physical fitness, and allow you to take control of your future. You'll find a wide array of affordable items for staying active, monitoring your health, and adapting to physical changes. Most popular are items for travel, even with your pets, exercise equipment and clothing, heart rate monitors and personal care items, and our unique Yes, I'm Positive collection. The Living to 100 Club Store offers convenient solutions for active lifestyles. Be sure to spend time on our Learn page for the club's inspiring blog series and add your name to our email list. The Living to 100 Club online store for awareness, convenience, and independence. Find us at livingto100.club. That's livingto100.club.
Do you feel that you aren't at your best when it comes to your personal health? Even if your doctor gives you a clean bill of health and says everything is in working order, perhaps you aren't feeling at the top of your game. Dr. Rebecca Risk overcame pain and fatigue despite all tests to the contrary. Learn how she put her health back on track and how you can too on Falling Through the Cracks. Live every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to the Living to 100 Club with Dr. Joe Casciani. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to info@livingto100.club. Now, back to this week's show.
Okay, and we're back. I want to highlight the title of today's episode, Celebrating Aging with a Positive Perspective. In our remaining minutes, I'm going to ask Joaquin to talk about successful aging. And let's start with the question about longevity revolution. How do you define the longevity revolution, Joaquin?
Well, longevity, sometimes we need little fancy terms to make things appealing. So the word revolution is very positive, I guess, changing things, and longevity, also living longer. Just a way of expressing what is happening to our society, both in the United States and worldwide, as we've seen. The fact that there are so very many older persons with so much health, both. Available, and that it's the increasing numbers because of the many gains that we have made thanks to the improving of healthcare, nutrition, medication, ultimately because we've reduced the death rates for children. So all of this has led to the increases in the number of older persons. Average life expectancy has increased tremendously. So right now we are about 80, 85, it depends. Average life expectancy at 65, not at birth, at 65 it's another 20 years. So people should ask themselves when they reach 65 and they start thinking about retirement, goodness gracious, what am I going to do with 20 more years of healthy life that I have in front of me? So what we call longevity revolution is nothing else than discussing, getting involved into the benefits, the many options, opportunities, and also the challenges inherent in living a very long life.
Yeah, the what I call the new chapters. How do we start?
A new chapter,
writing,
yeah.
Writing the new chapters.
John was saying, seeing our life as some sort of a show where we start with the first act and the second act, and then we see old age as the third act, where the actual resolution takes place, as to when we really find who we are and the meaning of our lives and what have we accomplished and where we are going and what else can we do. So it's this thing about longevity revolution implies being successful in refuting all the myths and making sure that older persons buy into it, that everyone tries their best to achieve not only this, those 20 extra years of life at 65, but maybe making it to your 100th club.
Yes.
You probably know better than me that the number also of persons that are 100 years of age or older in the United States, it's about 85,000.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous number of people that are able to reach this group of so-called centenarians.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They're on their fourth act and fifth acts and maybe even their sixth act.
The fourth act. You said it. That's very nice. Yep.
So, all right, we have this longevity revolution. People are healthier. They're living longer. More of them around. How do we benefit? How does society benefit from this shift in population? How do we take advantage of the growing numbers of older adults? There must be ways that we can leverage, we can capitalize, we can not only help themselves, but how can society benefit from this growing number?
Well, for this growing number, what happens is that, as I say, growing, and we talk about we are ecologically minded and we care about the environment and we are worried about saving our natural resources. And I like to emphasize that older persons are the only natural resource that continues to grow. And they are part of the society. They share the same sense of purposes as everyone else. And it's unfortunate that many times we think of them as being obsolete, that they do not belong, that they are a drain on our economy, when in fact older Americans represent an extraordinary pool of a social capital. I mean, it's not necessarily money, but they can contribute tremendously to our well-being because their positive impact can be felt in many areas in terms of them volunteering and getting involved, because all of us want a better society, if not for our children, for those persons that we love, for some of our friends, our grandchildren. We are very integrated into this society, and it's a matter of, I'd say, even social justice. I think it's so unfortunate that older people sometimes are excluded from full participation and membership in our society. And so what we have to do, I mean, I like to say it's even a matter of justice, is to make sure that older persons are given all kinds of opportunities so that they can continue to grow, to feel wanted, respected, and accepted in our society. Mm. If we do so, then the benefits to society at large would be tremendous. We would all experience. There are many examples that I could quote here about how older persons volunteer in what? In libraries, in national parks, in schools, being mentors and tutors and so on. And the opportunities are endless. So what we need to do as a society is try to make sure that we appreciate, that we feel them, make them feel wanted and accepted. In Japan, they have in September once a year a day that it's called Respect the Aged Day, where they express their love and appreciation towards what older persons have done for society. Mm. So we should do something like this here. It's not necessarily having one day. It should be something that where all persons freed themselves of all those myths and stereotypes, and they just see and accept older persons for who they are, just as another human being that was where they, the younger generations, are today. So it's a matter of justice, I like to say, a matter of equality, a matter of accepting our diversity, and then caring, like we've been so successful in caring for all different races and sexual groups and orientations, realizing that all this diversity makes us stronger rather than diminishing us.
Sure. To have a greater tolerance for our differentness and to not not put other groups into these pigeonholes. So we only have a couple of minutes left. I wrote a blog a few weeks ago about the older adult population who are continuing to work and, you know, take jobs and hold on to their positions and not retire like we did a couple of generations ago. And interestingly, of course, not surprising, was that the younger ages were kind of resentful of that. They're waiting for the seniors to leave their jobs, so there's more openings for the younger adults. And I guess that's one of these adjustments that you're talking about. Society needs to recognize there's a whole huge number of seniors that are still very productive and belong in the workplace. They want to be there, and they make contributions, and it's a good place.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's going to take time, and I don't think it happens overnight, but it's something that little by little we have to make this progress. It's, I mean, we could look at where we find ageism, in a newspaper article. How does television present or represents older persons? And what about the aged in the movies? How are they perceived or presented? And so in most any aspect of society, little by little, there is still progress that we need to. I know here in town there is a senior center across from a school. And I once asked, has the principal of the school ever talked to the director of the senior center? And the answer was no. Why? And I'm going, oh my goodness, all the wasted talent and all the opportunities that are right then and there. So, as I say, it's a slow process. We make progress, but we have to be optimistic, and we have to, each one of us individually, spread the word and say some of the things, the way they are or the way we perceive them, are not ideal. We can do more. We can do better. Our society more.
So one final thought. What would you want our listeners to take away from our presentation, your discussion today? What one thing would you want them to leave this discussion with?
That old age is probably the best stage of life.
Okay.
And it's been documented by research. When they ask people of different ages how happy they are, how satisfied they are with themselves, with their lives, old age, people over 65 come up on the very top, saying those are the best years of their lives.
Wow.
You have, once you retire, the greatest gift of all, which is time. Time to pursue your dreams, to try new things, and to see the world in a totally different way.
Yeah. That's perfect. Something for all of us to look forward to. I like that. It looks like we're out of time for today. Great discussion, Joaquin. Thanks for being our guest and for sharing your insights with us. Joaquin can be contacted at Joaquin, Joaquin senior@gmail.com. Special thanks to all of our listeners for being a part of today's show. When you have a few minutes, please visit our website. Sign up for our email list. Be sure to download our member handbook, 9 Principles for a Positive Frame of Mind. And To remind about next week's show, our guest will be Paul Greenwood, a former deputy district attorney, who will be talking about elder abuse. Closing thought for today is from the father of humanistic psychology, Abraham Maslow. Most of us have heard of that name. But one of his comments was, if you only have a hammer, you tend to see everything as a nail. You tend to see everything as a nail. So thanks very much for joining us today, and I look forward to having you back again next week.
Thank you for being part of the Living to 100 Club. We hope you'll join Dr. Joe Casciani again next Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Until next week, stay on the right track to mental and physical fitness.